What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I have no idea how that happened or when that happened. I kind of feel like that's AI. That cannot possibly be your host, Amy Lawrence. Oh, it happens to the best of us. And gosh, I do remember this story going back to when I was still in local radio in Providence. I was hosting with with the guy that I did a morning show with, but we were hosting offsite. We were doing a remote, if you will, and we were at a local business. And this one gentleman who was a listener was standing in front of me. We were sitting at a desk and he was standing in front of me, kind of staring down, not at me, but staring down at my papers on the desk. And we finally got to a break. He stood there for what felt like an uncomfortably long time. We finally got to a break and he said to me, "Hi, Amy, I'm just wondering, where's your script?" And I said, "My script." And he's like, "Yeah, the script that Coach writes for you." He actually thought that my older male co-host wrote a script for me. Well, that's not insulting or sexist at all. Anyway, I told him I didn't have one, and he was taken aback. He couldn't believe that I was actually talking without having a script, especially one that my co-host wrote for me. So times have changed. I don't think anyone would ask me that now, because if I had a script or a teleprompter, I wouldn't make up as many words as I do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence in honor of cocky athletes. Who are the most arrogant athletes in sports right now? Or if you want to go all time, that's fine too. Whether it's on Twix at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page, there is a post up there as well. Don't miss the photos of the Blue Angels on Twix. I'll see if I can get them up on Facebook as well. I should be able to do that, I think. So I'll try that when we get to another break. And we're taking your answers at both of our social media sites or on the phones, 855-212-4227. We're pleased to welcome Kurt Heelan, longtime insider for the NBA and really Team USA basketball whenever they are participating in these international competitions, in Las Vegas for training camp, covering it for NBCSports.com. And Kurt, let's just jump right in. What is the biggest buzz in Vegas right now?
I think two things. What people are really curious to see what Team USA, with all this talent, looks like. Like, how is it going to mesh? How long is that going to take? Because it's certainly a stacked roster with veterans and Curry and LeBron and Kevin Durant's got gold and on down the line. But, you know, we know from every sport we've ever watched, talent is, like, you got to have talent to win, but you've got to have talent that meshes and fits together. So, like, how is this going to look? And they get a good test on Wednesday night against Canada, who's a team that beat them in the World Cup a year ago. And the other thing that was eye-popping today was, for a lot of us, these last couple of days were the first time we all got to see Cooper Flagg in person. He's legit. Like, Cooper Flagg is going to be the Duke prospect, expected to go number one next year, I think he's 17 still, and he was out there probably the stretch we saw today, probably the best of the select team players on the floor. And that's with Trey Murphy and all these guys who are about to get paid, all these up-and-coming players. And he was just not only part of it, but, like, impressively part of it.
And he is on his way to Duke, so hasn't even played a college game yet. How did he do against some of the Team USA members?
It's really impressive. He is, I believe, 6'8 or 6'9. I'm not sure what the official is. But he's got a high release. He's athletic. He gets up. He defended well. But I think there was one stretch, and the clip is out there online. You can find it. He knocks down a three. He's got a smooth stroke, gets back, makes a defensive play at the other end, comes back the other way, and basically jumps past on offense. Again, missed shot, jumps past Drew Holiday and gets the tip in. Kind of, he was going for the dunk and got fouled, so it was more of a tip in. But like a three-point play going the other way, and it was really impressive. He's got the athleticism and the skill, and he's doing all this, like I said, at 17. So it's going to be a good year to be a Blue Devils fan.
Team USA just got Jason Tatum in town. This is post Celtics NBA title. What did he have to say about getting back on the court?
He said it seems really fast, and I imagine so. He's like, you know, we just won 20 days ago. You know, it's been basically 3 weeks, and we, you know, they partied in Miami for a little bit, then they had the parade, and they've done all this. And he and Drew Holiday are just, they haven't spent a lot of time trying to get their feet back under them and you know, haven't done a lot of off-season work. So there's a little of them playing themselves into shape going on, and that's understandable. But he was out there today in a unit with a first unit that, well, we don't know what the first unit's going to look like, but my guess, this was Stephen Curry, LeBron, Tatum, kind of in what would have been the KD role, and Joel Embiid was in that group as well, which I imagine that's what 4/5 of the starting lineup is going to look like. And Curry was out there. We'll see on Wednesday night, but he was right in the middle of it and kind of stepped into the Kevin Durant role.
It was interesting to hear LeBron talk about, I'll score if they need me to score. I'll do whatever else they need me to do. Not really knowing exactly how the team will fit together as they go through this camp. What would you think LeBron's primary role would be in Paris?
You know what? I think he's more of a glue guy here than he might be. And he's got the skill set for that than otherwise. He's somebody who can, you know, obviously an elite passer and the NBA's all-time leading scorer. But I do think, with this team having so much talent, all the guys have talked about, hey, I got to sacrifice. I got to play hard in the minutes I've got. I've got to accept whatever role is being asked of me. You know, Joel Embiid's going to have to play down on the block, closer to the basket, more than he does, and maybe more than he's comfortable, and certainly more than he does in the NBA, because that's kind of the way the FIBA game works. And I think in LeBron's case, they'll find the role, but I think he's going to do a lot of facilitating and a lot of defending and getting balls out, you know, getting things going in transition, and he'll get his buckets, but I don't think he's going to be the primary scorer. I think he's going to leave that to other people, and he's going to find ways to kind of get everyone else rolling.
We also heard Anthony Edwards say that he was the number one option. What's the reaction to that, Kurt?
He said it was this huge grin. It was just vintage Anthony, you know, Anthony Edwards, where he is all confidence and bordering on arrogance, but kind of with his wink, right? Like yeah, I know. You know, he later said, somebody asked, one of the questions was asked of a lot of players, like, with this roster, who gets the last shot, right? Like, tie game late, who gets the ball? And he's like, well, better go to Kevin Durant. That's who I paid to see. Like, you know, that's why I'm here. I want to see my idol take that shot. I think, though, what they need from him, and he was another guy who got some interesting minutes with different groups over the last few days, he brings a level of athleticism that, you know, we've got all these veterans out there, but they're older and they're not athletic in the same way, right, anymore. You know, even LeBron, Anthony Edwards is young and bouncy and flying around out there, and they're going to need that from him, and they're going to need the energy that he and Halliburton bring to really have some of that youth and have some of that, something that some of the veterans don't really bring anymore.
Kurt Hegland is with us from steamy Las Vegas, where they're routinely hitting 120 on the gun. He covers the NBA and now Team USA for NBCSports.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The lack of practice and the lack of working together can be a detriment against teams from around the world. So what other teams, as we head to Paris, are expected to give the Americans the best competition?
Well, they start off Wednesday night with the team that won the bronze medal at the World Cup a year ago in Canada. Canada stacked. They got Shea Gildas-Alexander as the head of the snake, but it's got Dylan Brooks and RJ Barrett and Kelly Olynyk and, you know, Lou Dort. They're going to be a really good defensive team up and down the roster, and they've got some shooting and scoring, and again, they play really well within the FIBA system. So they're a team to watch. Serbia is another powerhouse team to watch in USA's first game in Paris against Nikola Jokic, and Serbia is going to be obviously a threat. And the other team to watch, France, the host. They're going to start a front line of Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert. Hmm. And you know, that's where Joel Embiid really matters. Like I said, he is the linchpin for Team USA because they need his size. As good as Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo are, Kerr's been playing them together on the second unit, which is interesting. It ultimately is going to come down to they need Joel Embiid to be Joel Embiid to win this thing because they allow a lot more physicality in international ball. And if he's not that guy in the paint, USA got pushed around at World Cup. They're trying not to have that happen this time around.
Hmm. A lot of the chatter in Vegas, too, I can imagine this is also about Summer League and some of the rookies that people are paying attention to. So how much chatter do you hear about Bronny James?
A little. There's definitely some curiosity to see what Bronny James and the Lakers look like. You know, they started in Sacramento. There's a real interest to see how much he develops over the course of Summer League. I mean, this is such a development program for him where he's genuinely a couple years away from being an NBA rotation player if things go right. So how much does he develop? How much better is he four games into Summer League from that first game? How much does he grow is, I think, what's important with him and what everybody's watching. And then everybody else is out here to see Reed Shepard. And this is such a draft of guys where there's just question marks about all of them. You know, there wasn't a clear set, number one. There isn't a Cooper Flagg in this draft. Hmm. It was a bit divisive, so let's see what he looks like in this kind of setting. And it's, I think there's some excitement about seeing how all these guys kind of look in a new setting.
But not quite the same hyper-focused buzz as it was with Wembanyama last summer.
Oh, no. What's going to be interesting, Amy, is somebody's going to break out of this class, right? There's going to end up being a couple of all-stars drafted this year. They kind of always are. But this was just the year that there wasn't not a Wembanyama, but frankly not a Karl Anthony Towns or anybody like that, or a Zion Williamson or something at the top of the draft. You're like, you got to take that guy. This guy's clearly the best. You know, he could be the foundation of your future. That guy just wasn't in this draft. And you know, you're going to end up with possibly the number one pick. Could end up being a nice role player who maybe never makes an all-star game, or maybe makes one. Reza Shea can be more than that. But there's not this expectation with this draft that there was cornerstone guy. So it's going to be interesting to see who emerges. Because you go back to 2013 and like Anthony Bennett, number one, Victor Oladipo, two, and you had Alex Len in the top five. So, yeah.
Whoa.
Also had Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, there's somebody's going to come out of this thing.
Well, big men are all the rage. They're a lot of fun to watch. So where are you on the possible impact of Zach Edey and Donovan Clingan?
I like the Donovan Clingan pickup. And Buzz is, he's looked really good. He is athletic. He can do a lot of different things. Edey went back into college for one more year, improved his mobility, his footwork, took a step forward with his game, and then landed, I think, in Memphis in just the right spot. Remember what they had in the middle 2 years ago when they were winning before the suspensions and injuries and everything that sidelined last year. They had Steven Adams in the middle doing all the dirty work and rebounding and just being physical inside and being a little intimidating for guys driving the lane. If Zach Edey can be, and not that he's going to be that the first year, all of that, but if he can start to step into that role and do some of the dirty work inside and protect the rim and stuff, that's a Memphis team that gets everybody back, including Ja Morant. And this was a team that won 50 games in a row for 2 years in a row until the, you know, again, injuries and suspensions last year. If Zach Edey can anchor the middle for them, they become a threat in the West.
Well, you can't teach the size, right? And that wingspan and the bulk. And he does move surprisingly well. So as much as he may be more of raw potential, I'm excited to see what he does. Kurt Heelan is with us from Las Vegas, covering not just Team USA, but the buzz around Summer League. When you think about Joel Embiid and his other team right now featuring Paul George and, of course, Tyrese Maxey, how do you like what the Sixers have done?
I think they've probably had the best offseason of anyone. They have really jumped into this. Look, it's a big swing, and yeah, there's injury risks, but Joel Embiid's window is not, you know, he's not young, but he's not old yet, but he's kind of in his prime with his injury history going back. Like, this isn't a huge window. They needed to do it and do it now. Tyrese Maxey has come up, and on top of that, now we've got Paul George, I think, and some solid role players that they've got to round out that roster, but this is a team I think that can push Boston. Boston still is a beautifully constructed team. They are all in their primes. They're running it back. They're going to be confident. They're the team to beat. But I think Philadelphia can push them if they can get Joel Embiid and Paul George to the finish line healthy, right? Like, if they can get them to the postseason healthy, they're really good. The Knicks are really good. I think the East is a lot deeper this year. And I always like teams that just go for it, Amy, with the Rams and, you know, blank the picks. But there's a certain level of that, right? Like, if you've got Joel Embiid, you should go all in now. And they did.
They definitely did. What about Klay Thompson leaving the Warriors and joining Kyrie and Luka in Dallas?
I think it's a good fit for him. I think that Dallas gets a little bit better. They're going to have to defend. Klay is not that guy anymore. And they lost Derrick Jones Jr., and that's going to put a lot on Najee Marshall and some guys step up defensively. They got better offensively. Watch them in the finals last year. They needed spacing around Kyrie, and they needed knockdown shooters. Klay is, you know, everybody likes to say he's not the same guy because he's not the same guy as he was pre-injury. But he's still absolutely one of the better catch-and-shoot guys in the league. He can knock it down. He is going to shoot and shoot in big minute moments and not be fazed by the moment. He has already won rings. So I think he steps in and makes them better. I think Dallas got a little bit better. Their problem is the West is ridiculous, and Oklahoma City got a lot better.
Well, it's one thing to hear what Steph Curry and Steve Kerr have to say about losing Klay. It's another thing to read body language and kind of be there. How sincere or genuine do you believe they were about really wanting Klay to return, considering some of what we've heard coming out of the Warriors organization?
I think those guys wanted him back, but I think Steve in particular genuinely understands that he's been through this, right? He's been through this with, he was a member of the Last Dance Bulls. He knows what it looks like when things are starting to break up. And he went in and said, I think he genuinely understood that they kind of needed to move on or get Klay at a kind of salary number that's not fair to him. They've got to get out of the second apron. They're in a much better spot in some ways. Look, the Anthony Melton's a little younger and shooting. I think, honestly, I don't think they got worse this summer. As weird as it is to say, they didn't lose. Losing Klay and the role players they brought in, I think they're going to be as good, at least during the regular season, as they were before. And I think Curry just wants a chance. So, well, it'll be interesting. He's going to get, hopefully he gets his gold this summer. I think he wants the chance to compete one more time. And
yeah,
that roster's there yet.
A lot of young guys that got their feet wet last year in the NBA. So that relationship between Klay and the Warriors lasted more than a decade. Not quite as long a tenure for Paul George in LA, but what happened there?
You know, George talked about it on his podcast, and they don't really have a reason to disbelieve some of the stuff he said, which is they started low, you know, 2 years, $60 million, which is well below market for Paul George at this point, and really were just trying to get him on a cheaper deal. He eventually says he would have come back on the same deal they gave Kawhi Leonard of 3 years, $50 million. $150 million. He would have come back on that if they would have given him a no trade clause. Because he's like, if I'm going to take a discount, I'm not getting the max. I want to know I'm staying home. I want the ability to control that. He says the Clippers would not give him that, which frankly, if true and probably is, that pretty much just tips their hand. Like, I really genuinely think they want to keep this team together for a year or two while they move into the new building, and then know that they're kind of at the end of this and they've got to retool and rebuild. So I think that that was their thinking, and Paul George, he didn't want that. He wants to be somewhere steady, and he had an option, not just an option, but an option to go contend in the East with an MVP player. Frankly, I think the most dominant player in the league when healthy. So you can't call Paul George's bluff that he wants to stay home when he's got an option like that.
Right. Well, and as long as he stays healthy, kind of like what we talked about with the Sixers. All right, Kurt, before I let you go, best way to beat the Heat in Vegas?
Don't go outside.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's plenty of iced drinks one could have around here and beautiful pools. But when you get to 120, it doesn't matter anymore, man. Just get inside until I think the low tonight's going to get down to 86, so, you know, it'd be really nice out.
That sounds like sage advice from Kurt Heelan. You can find him on Twitter or Twix or X or whatever you call it, at Basketball Talk, the lead NBA writer and now covering Team USA for NBCSports.com, and is beating the Heat in Vegas as best he can. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, Kurt. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me on, Amy.
Good insight about some of the moves that have been made in free agency. Also, really cool to hear his impressions of Cooper Flagg, and he's all the rage. I know it's a different setting because this was Team USA and the select team that was battling the American roster. Not Victor Wembanyama, but it reminded me a little bit of that. When Wemby first played in Summer League a year ago in Vegas, minus the Britney Spears encounter, what you got was him trending on social. And so that's what's happening, or what happened earlier during the day on Monday, because Cooper Flagg was impressing not just the guys who were battling against him, but anybody who was watching, like the media. All right, who are the cockiest athletes in sports? I think Jason Tatum, he might be one that would fit that bill. Of course, he's got reason to be. If you've got some names from the past, that's okay, but I'm kind of looking more for names from current athletes. So on Twix, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, good to grab a few minutes with you guys as we head through the night. I know you don't always listen for the entire 4 hours. If you do, though, brownie points. And, of course, you can be top fans and top listeners. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
6.9 to go. In it comes to Ethan Morton. He's going to dribble this one out. And the second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats as national champions. The third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60 the final. The Huskies back-to-back national champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Kugler with the final call of the NCAA Men's Championship. And the UConn Huskies just had a chance to talk about Donovan Clingan briefly with Kurt Heelan. I was asking about Clingan and, of course, Zach Edey, who's more of a project but has a good opportunity with the Grizzlies. And there were some big reasons, huge monopoly money reasons, why UConn was in the headlines on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We knew this was coming. Dan Hurley and the University of Connecticut agreed to a new deal, 6 years, $50 million. It's not quite what the Lakers offered him, but I don't think it was about the money. If it was, he had other opportunities. Potentially Kentucky would have paid him even more than what UConn offered. And it's funny, too, because people kind of pointed to his flirtation, if that's what you want to call it, with the Lakers, and said that was just about motivation or incentive or even pitting the Lakers against Connecticut in order to get more money out of the university. Except what he said, and I believe this was on the Dan Le Batard show, is, hey, I don't need leverage. I just want back-to-back national championships. Uh-huh. I would agree. Dan Hurley is one of those guys, not as an athlete, but as a coach who's got a cockiness that does him well. And certainly that sets the tone for his Huskies when they're on the court and now as they attempt to go for a three-peat. Remember, he talked about how UConn basketball was essentially the gold standard over the last 25 years on the men's and women's side, and he will be paid handsomely for it. 6 years, $50 million. And then there are also incentives that are built in, say, should they win another championship. But what he rejected from the Lakers was $70 million over that same time period. And honestly, to hear him talk about it now where, you know, it's been out of the spotlight, out of the news for a little bit, he's pretty plain and pretty, I would say, clear that this was about UConn and the potential there and what they're building there and believing in the right situation for not just him as a coach, but for his family. Kind of sounds like a few weeks removed that this was a clear choice for him to stay with the Huskies.
President Herbst had hired me and the program that we've put together, it's a special program, it's a special coaching staff, it's special players, and in the end, you know, you just can't walk away from that.
In the end, you just can't walk away from that. Now, we know back when the Lakers offered him the deal, he said it was agonizing. He said that they presented quite a vision for what they want the Lakers to do and how he could be the coach and the idea about player development with younger guys, blah, blah, blah. And then they turn around and they pivot to J.J. Redick, which I still don't get. However, that was their next best, or I guess they felt like they had a compelling vision to present to J.J. Redick too. But I kind of thought that was funny to think about a compelling vision. That was the phrase that Dan Hurley used after his meeting with the Lakers. They presented him with a compelling vision, but then also had a compelling vision for J.J. Redick. I don't know if it was one and the same. But yeah, he, going back to late last month, once the dust had settled, he really was following his heart and following his instincts.
I don't think there's many coaches that have ever been faced with, you know, coaching in two just iconic places and to have to, you know, make a decision between the two. Although it was, you know, excruciating process because of, you know, the incredible opportunities, you know, in the end, you know where your heart is.
In the end, you know where your heart is. My heart is with After Hours. You can find us on Twix or Facebook, who are the cockiest, most arrogant athletes right now or of all time. I suppose when we ask questions like this, a lot of you, whether you hear it or you don't, you have examples from eras past, and that is okay. So yes, you can find that on social media or our phone number, 855-212-4227. Our friend Chicago Johnny is listening in Vegas where he's staying in a pool because it's 120 degrees. Hi, Johnny.
First of all, I'm going to talk about most arrogant. I have a tie for number one, and it would be Aaron Rodgers and definitely LeBron James, right? Because they both love center of attention. And LeBron James, he's moved from Cleveland to Miami so he can get center of attention. Then he went to L.A. to get center of attention. And there's nothing you can do to convince me that I'm wrong. And let me ask you this question, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want your professional opinion. Do you think that the L.A. Lakers would have drafted LeBron's son if LeBron was not on the team?
Oh, of course not.
All right. So they didn't do it for basketball reasons. They did it for ticket sales and for TV exposure.
Well, I think they actually did it for basketball reasons because they don't want to lose LeBron. And they felt like this was the way that they could ensure he would sign a deal to stay with LA. Because it's a dream come true for him to play with his son. And I certainly understand why the Lakers not only want LeBron to stick around for another year, but also want to be the team that makes history. I mean, it is a pretty cool thing. But yeah, I mean, they did it because they believe that's how they could ensure LeBron would stick around.
Now, didn't LeBron just get a new contract with them?
Yeah, he took a lot less money than what he would have gotten or could have gotten with a max deal or even gotten elsewhere.
All right. Now let me straighten you out about Las Vegas.
Okay.
All right? Now, granted, it is hot, right? And the temperature is like at 120. Tomorrow is going to be 117. The humidity is at 7%.
Wow.
Okay? And that's what it was today, and that's what it's going to be tomorrow. So, yes, it is hot, but it is very dry, and there's so much activity to do inside. I mean, all these casinos, not just a casino, but there's so much to see inside the Venetian, inside the Wynn, inside Caesars. I mean,
inside the Sphere.
That's unbelievable. Amy, we got to get you here, and I got to get you for the tour. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you came.
I can imagine. Just seeing it on TV, or actually seeing it from the air when we were flying out of Vegas on a red eye. It was pretty cool to see that marvel from the airplane.
Did you know that they added music to the outside now?
Did they?
There's music. They got music going to some of the scenes that they put out. You can't explain it. And seeing it on TV is totally different from seeing it in person.
I'm sure.
I've never seen anything like this. But that's what I'm trying to say. There's so much to see and do inside Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pools, the water is refreshing because they pump in cold water.
Well, I don't think you have to sell the majority of America on Vegas. Most people absolutely love it, and
they
I'm sure would visit it. Yeah, would visit it. It seems like it's become a major hub for all kinds of sporting events, and I don't just mean the pro leagues that are playing there now and the baseball team that will be moving there, but I also mean just all-star events and training camps and any type of conventions. I know it's a place where a lot of people go regularly, even annually, for different trips.
I'm going to get you and Bob to come here, and I'll have you stay at Caesars. I'll have you stay at Flamingo. I'll have you stay at Wynn, I'm telling you, and you're going to be glad you did.
That's very kind of you. I got to tell you, once we are done with our trip to Virginia, coming up this next week, it's kind of second half of our summer vacation, we are so happy to not go anywhere. It's been nonstop, essentially, since the 1st of April when I started my class in Syracuse. We have had very little time at home. But when we did in June, we had three sets of visitors in June, so that was kind of crazy. A lot of making beds and remaking beds and cleaning the house. So, yeah, once we get through this next trip, my brother's milestone birthday, we're going nowhere until early September.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to still try to convince you.
All right.
And did you know that the Mob Museum was just rated the number one museum in Las Vegas?
Wow. Very cool. I have no doubt. Oh. After seeing it and experiencing it for myself, along with you giving us the tour, I have no doubt that that is true.
Well, you have a good show, and I'll be listening.
All right, Chicago Johnny, good to talk to you. Make sure you beat the heat with all those pools and the indoor options. Yeah, I kind of feel like that's the case. And even though it is a dry heat, it's still 120. That's like an oven, maybe, not like a sauna. But I know in Houston, when we were there for the wedding last week, it was 100+, and yeah, it's just hot. Even when it's not extremely humid, and really for Vegas and some of the other places in the desert, it's almost negligible humidity. Even when it's not as humid, it's still just hot. You feel like you're baking. Or I feel like I'm baking. I won't speak for you. Who are the cockiest and most arrogant athletes in sports? On Twix at A-Law Radio. Some photos up there as well. A few of them from the last 24 hours. Plus our Facebook page. I'm going to get to those photos. Patience, young Padawans. Patience. Here's our latest sports update.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's funny that we think about the show question so differently, because I'm thinking more of current athletes, and many of you are responding with former athletes, although we have gotten a couple of current. For instance, Chicago Johnny just gave us both Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James, who I think definitely belong in the top 10 of current most arrogant athletes. And I've come up with a bunch of others. For instance, Draymond Green. I actually think that being obnoxiously cocky gives him a mental edge. That's how he motivates himself. That's how he inspires himself. That's how he gets fired up to go out there and play, and not just play basketball, but really be the cornerstone of that defense that the Warriors want to play, for better or for worse. And of course, it's a fine line. So sometimes he crosses that line and his emotions, that cockiness and intensity, get the best of him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find us on Twix at A-Law Radio. Our show question is up there also on our Facebook page, and Ryan is retweeting when he sees the answers that you have shared. Let's see. On Twix, hold on. I've got to, oh, I like this post from Mike, though. So jealous you saw the Blue Angels. Oh, yeah, they were terrific. If you haven't seen my photos, they're up on my own page, and I will get them up on Facebook soon. And then he also says, I miss my grandma too. Glad I can be back listening. Have a chronic illness that keeps me away from listening live. Well, I'm glad that you're able to be back and listening. And hopefully that means that you're managing this illness and some of the challenges that come along with it. Sam is listening to us in Utah before he falls asleep until he has to wake up again for work. Oh, isn't that the life? I know that that's the case for many of you who listen. Insomnia is a tough thing. I've dealt with it for different stretches over the course of my career. It's certainly not easy to sleep odd hours when our bodies were made to sleep at night. That's the case. And if we can keep you company and help you fall asleep, I am not going to be offended by that. So happy that you are listening to us, Sam, in Utah. So yeah, you send those answers in. I swear I saw a couple. That Ryan retweeted. Okay, I'm going to have to find the post and then open it up. Here we go. Kyle says, all time, it's Muhammad Ali or Deion Sanders. But current, it's Conor McGregor. Oh, yes. Or Cristiano Ronaldo. He definitely is cocky. Now, he can back it up, too, which I think is helpful. But also, I kind of feel like we saw a side of Ronaldo recently that we're not used to, which is when he was all torn up over missing the PK, missing the penalty kick, and was in tears and just really upset over the fact that he had come up short or failed his team on that stage. Jeff goes with Deion Sanders, cocky, but primetime backed up his swagger. He says, one of my favorite quotes from Deion, water covers 2/3 of the earth. I cover the rest. Jeff goes with the legendary Ted Williams. When I walk down the street, I want people to say that's the greatest hitter that ever lived. So yeah, that's another good one. Let's see if I can find another one. Keith says Ricky Henderson and Terrell Owens, T.O. Bruce goes with Juan Soto, so little more recent than some of these others. Jason says Draymond, but no, well, it doesn't matter how you spell it. I got you, Jason. Jason goes with Draymond Green. Let's see. Gene also goes with T.O. in the form of a GIF. And some of you are setting the names of athletes I've never heard of, which is kind of interesting because if they're the most arrogant and cockiest athletes in the world right now, I should get to know them. So we'll try to do that. So whether it's Twitter or Facebook, our phone number, 855-212-4227. Jason is in Houston. Jason, what do you think?
I was thinking Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Being a current, I definitely agree with Deion and, you know, but, I think, that would be my current one. It's kind of hard to find a current.
Well, no, I agree with Tyreek Hill. He's constantly talking about how he's the best receiver, the fastest on the planet, how 2,000 yards is well within his reach and yada, yada, yada. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, he is the center of the universe and everything else revolves around Tyreek.
He is the offensive Deion Sanders. Yes. So that would be my
agreed.
That would be my current one.
That's a good one.
And I hope you had a great time in Houston.
I did. We had a bunch of family time. The heat is just not, it's not my thing. I don't know how you guys do it. But how did you come through the storm? Were you okay?
Well, that's, I'm listening to y'all because we have no power, no internet. I'm excited just to talk to anybody, I guess.
Oh, good. Well, we're happy to keep you company. I know my mom's in the same boat. She hasn't had power for almost 24 hours now, and what I'd heard was about 3 million people in the Houston area. So glad you're safe, and we're happy to keep you company, Jason.
Well, great show. I love
Thank
y'all,
you.
And keep it up.
All right, good to talk to you. Yeah, in the Houston area, some of the videos that have come out of that particular storm, Beryl, pretty rough. People getting stranded in their cars because they were flooded on highways, and cars just stranded and abandoned out there on the roads, and other people having to be rescued from high waters. So please be safe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.